Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Hack My Homestead podcast. This is Sean Mills, and today I've got three segments that were previously expert counsel answers for the Survival podcast, where I do a regular guest segment on listener questions. I'm out of town this week skiing with my family in Salt Lake City, Utah, or rather Park City, Utah. And wanted to get some content out for you guys. Each day I'm picking a different theme. Today's theme is small systems. So all three of these answers were for people who had written in and had little systems, or one of them is a decent size. The last one's a decent size system. And they just had questions. And so I kind of walked through each of the three different systems, what the needs were, how they were going to utilize them. And you know, you can see kind of what my process is for working my way through a system design. Obviously, these were very quick segments. I'm limited to about 6 or 7 minutes in these answers, but all three of them are good examples of small systems where people had written in and said, hey, here's the little thing I want to do. How do I do that? And me kind of walking through that process with them. So you will hear me refer to myself as Hack My Solar. We are no longer Hack My Solar. We are Hack My Homestead. You can still get a hold of us at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at hackmyhomestead.com, or visit us at hackmyhomestead.com at the website. So just to avoid any confusion, I wanted to mention that up front. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll talk to you next week when I'm back. Hey guys, this is Sean Mills with HackMySolar.com, and I've got an expert panel question for you. So question, what type or size battery backup / inverter system can I install to prevent our whole house from going quote unquote dark in the 30 seconds between losing grid power and our automatic backup generator coming online? Details. When we built our house 5 years ago, we installed a 12 kW Briggs & Stratton whole house backup generator. It runs off our 1,000-gallon buried propane tank. We are in the New York Catskills, and between scheduled maintenance, wind, snow, and ice, we lose power more often than we like. Mostly, it's just a minor inconvenience, but last week, we lost power, and my wife lost over an hour of work on her computer. She hadn't noticed that her UPS battery had died. She plans on replacing the UPS, and I was thinking of how nice it would be to not have to sit in a dark garage or wait to reset the table saw until the power returns 30 seconds later. Our daily electrical use over the past year has ranged from a low of 30 kilowatt hours to a high of 77 kilowatt hours. Do you think I should install a larger system to cover more than a minute or two of power loss? Eventually, we want to install a solar system with battery bank and go completely off the grid. Thank you, Frank and the Catskills. Frank, your best solution here is going to be to select a few high-value circuits. So maybe the lights in the rooms that you spend the most time in. So maybe garage, kitchen, office, living room, master bedroom. Maybe some plugs from those same areas. Put them on a separate distribution panel and run that panel from something small like a 3 kW inverter that's fed by a lithium iron phosphate battery bank with a plug-in charger. So what you're doing there is during most of the year, you know, you could get a quality, high quality, like 48 volt, 25 amp charger that stays plugged in. And during the times when the power is on, it's keeping your battery bank topped off at 100%. In the event that your power goes out, the circuits in question never even blink. So we're not putting our refrigerator on there. We're not putting heaters on there. We're not putting central HVAC on there. We're not putting the dryer and the washing machine on there, but we're putting, you know, we're putting special or high value circuits like your wife's office, your garage, things like that. You know, that, like I say, that when that happens, you can choose then to top the batteries off with the natural gas generator, or rather the propane generator, or you can wait for grid power to return. You know, all you gotta do is go down there and flip that charge controller off, run off a battery for a while. You know, if you get down to 50%, if you're using lithium iron phosphate batteries and you say, hey, you know, who knows how long this thing is going to last, let's go ahead and get these batteries topped back up, you go flip your charger back on. So that's running, the charger is running off of whatever is powering the main distribution panel in the house. So whether it be the grid or the whole house generator, but then those special circuits, they're running off the battery bank. And so that's why when the power goes out, those circuits don't do anything. So they just stay on. The LiFePO 4 batteries on the market today have built-in battery management systems. So you can actually you can monitor the usage during your power outages and determine if perhaps you want to swap over more circuits or just run some additional power cords to other rooms from those circuits during power outages. Now that battery bank becomes the start of your future system and allows you to do what I'm suggesting many off-grid folks do, which is have multiple smaller systems, not just big one, or just not just one big one. So in this scenario, you could potentially have one inverter that runs these special circuits, and when you go solar, you get a bigger inverter that runs all the rest of them. And now you've got the option to be off grid. Now you can put grid on if you want. You can run off of batteries. You can run off of solar. You can run off propane. You've got all of the options. So that's what I would do. Obviously you're talking about, these batteries are running about $1,500 a piece, but in this application, that's what you're going to want. You could probably get away with one. I would say probably two would be best, with a little cabinet to put them in, maybe a cabinet that's big enough to allow for future expansion. The charger that I'm talking about is about a $300 charger, high quality, but this is exactly what it's built for. And you can probably get away with an inverter less than $500. The real co you know so that's your component cost. If you got an electrician buddy, maybe he can come out for $500 or $600 worth of materials and put that extra distribution panel in for you. So that's how I would solve that problem. Hope that helps. Good luck to you. If you guys have any other questions, send them in to Jack and I will get them answered. Thanks. Hey guys, it's Sean Mills with AcmeSolar.com, and I've got another expert panel question to answer. So this is from David. David says, "What is the best option for getting your feet wet into solar? My wife and I would like to get some resiliency with solar on our power needs. We have looked into installing a grid-tied system, but do not want to have a loan on our home, and when the power is out, the solar doesn't work without a battery backup system. I was thinking of building a Stephen Harris battery bank that could be charged with solar and grid power, and I'm sorry, that had the flexibility of being expanded when the funds are available. I live in Central Florida and have a three-story home with a metal roof that is 12-12 or a 45-degree angle pitch." Hey David, look, the Steve Harris battery bank system would definitely be an option. I would say you should start looking into the lithium iron phosphate batteries. But for just toe dipping, the flooded lead acid are perfectly fine. If I were you and I lived where you lived, I would drive down to South Florida where there are several places to get pallets of solar panels available for 50 cents per watt, some places well under 50 cents per watt. Once you've got your pallet, you put them on sale. If you don't have a truck, get a friend with a truck or rent one for the weekend. You can put a full pallet in the bed of a truck, got a hand unload it, but it's not hard. Once you get them home, put them on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. You should be able to sell them for at least a 50% profit. You sell half the pallet, that pays for the other half or more. I do know people who have flipped pallets for 300% profit by breaking them down and selling them into one, two, or three at a time. You get a deal if you go down there and all they have to do is take a pallet with a forklift, set it in the back of your truck, and you drive off. Okay. When you turn around and sell them one, two, or three at a time to people in your local area, it costs more per panel because they can't get them any other way. If they don't want to go down and buy the entire pallet, they want to buy them a few at a time, that's what it costs. But like I said, know people who have flipped pallets, full pallets, for 300% profit by selling them one or two at a time. Now with the other half of the pallet, now that you've funded your project, or at least paid for the panels, which are the most expensive part, at least half if you're not going to go a full battery bank on this deal. Assuming the panels are at least 300 watts, you should have about 5,000 kilowatt hours a year of solar sitting in that half a pallet. June's going to be the only month that you're going to come in less than 400 kilowatts in a single month. So you're talking about 10 plus kilowatt hours per day throughout the entire year at a minimum. Now, does that mean you're going to get 10 every day? Absolutely not. It means you're going to average greater than 10 over the course of a year. Now, why June being bad? Well, in Florida, obviously, you got your midday rain, or at least rain clouds, and 45 degree roof pitch is not optimal. It's very suboptimal for an area in the tropics. You want, in your area, you want your solar panels in the summer sitting close to flat. But 45 degree, that's going to hurt you. But if that's what you've got, that's what you've got. The good news is panels are cheap, so you can keep putting them on till you're out of roof. Now, as a toe dipper, you probably will not even want the full 5,000 kilowatt hours a year. You're probably going to want to start with like a three-panel system, a small MPPT charge controller, and a few golf cart batteries. You pair those with a 3,000-watt inverter, and now you have enough juice to run any appliance in your house that has a 120-volt plug. I'm not saying you can run everything, but you can run anything. At this point, play around with the kilowatt meter. See what you want to run on the inverter all the time. What things you want to run on the inverter sometimes, or things you might want to run on the inverter only during the middle of the day when the sun's out. You know, one neat idea would be to run a crock pot or a sous vide to cook some food from home to come home to, right? So you get ready to go to work, you hook your sous vide up to your inverter and throw your meat in there, throw some steaks in there, or throw a crock pot, just pour everything into the pot like some holler stew like Nicole does. Get that thing going. Come home, dinner's ready. Maybe hook a dehydrator to it. Make some jerky while you're at work, or some yogurt. I know a guy who's using his excess solar generation to mine crypto in Central Florida. So there's lots of options, you know. Get your feet wet, get started, get a few panels. Like I said, where you are, the bang for the buck is go down to South Florida, get a pallet, bring it back. Sell half of it, or more if you want to, or less if you want to, but you can definitely sell them for a lot cheaper, or a lot more per panel than you can buy them for. If you would like to hire me to design this whole system, including some use cases for you, you can send me an email at hackmysolar@gmail.com. Otherwise, guys, keep the questions coming in and I'll keep answering them. Thanks. Hey TSP community, this is Sean Mills with HackMySolar.com, and I've got a question today on energy independence, my favorite topic. Let's see, here's the question. Hi Jack, I have a question regarding energy independence. My wife and I did a strategic location 1.5 years ago. We live in 3 acres in the Jacksonville, Florida area. We have our own source of water, a well. We also have septic. We're looking for some sort of energy independence solution. Our lot is 60% woods. I can clean some of the lot up, but that would require a good amount of money. We already have a 22 kW standby Generac generator. We were thinking on putting a 1,000-gallon underground propane tank as backup. I can't put solar in my roof since it's a tile roof, and putting a ground-mounted solar system will require for me to clean the lot. What would be the best long-term solution? What would you do? Is there anything I'm missing? Well, he asked Jack what Jack would do, but Jack asked me what I would do. And you might see where this is going, but hey, solar is stupid cheap right now. If you put the ground mount system on the north side of your house and aim it south, obviously, over the roof, at least the clearing of the house will help some. And you will need to site the system so that the house itself doesn't shade the panels in winter. Don't know how tall the house is, but I imagine it, you know, most Florida houses I've seen aren't very tall due to having to survive hurricanes and things like that. Putting the panels on a pole mount and getting them off the ground might also reduce the amount of land that needs to be cleared. You could also put in a single or two-axis tracking system, which would allow you to trade money for trees by further reducing the amount to be cleared. And let's not discount the fact that clearing could also provide the timber for the mounting structure. So two birds and one stone, maybe. Also, you say you're 60% woods. That means 40% of your 3-acre lot is cleared or so. You might be thinking you've got to put the solar really close to the house, but you don't. You can run your cable a long way if you jack up the voltage. So, for example, a 5,000-watt solar array that's wired for 500 volts at 10 amps can run 1,200 feet on 6-gauge wire with only a 2% loss. And if a 3% loss is acceptable, then you can go 1,800 feet. So, you know, you can put your panels way out where they belong and run them, you know, run the cables a pretty long way. And look, there's systems designed all the time that go up to 5% cabling losses. I typically design for 3 or less. But yeah, I mean, at 3%, you can go 1,800 feet on 6-gauge wire, which isn't stupid expensive. excuse me. I don't know if you've got the Generac Guardian, but that does seem to be the most popular 22 kW generator. At a 50% load, that generator is going to drink 2.53 gallons per hour. That means if you put that 1,000-gallon underground tank in, they're going to top that out at 800 gallons. And if you don't use it for anything but the generator, it will generate something like 3,450 kilowatt hours of electricity over those 800 gallons. So 3,450 kilowatt hours. It's a little bit more than that, but I don't think you can actually draw all 800 gallons out of that tank either. Now in Jacksonville, Florida, you can generate more than that every year with about 9 solar panels. As a matter of fact, I could sell you a package that would show up on a pallet shipped to your house with panels, connectors, an inverter charger, and charge controller for under $4,000, and all you would need to do would be to add batteries or handle the permitting and electrical contractor to hook it up if you're going to go grid tied. To me, that's a better option than just relying on the generator. I have to imagine with a 22 kW standby generator, you probably already have an above ground propane tank, and you're thinking about that 1,000-gallon tank as a backup. I have to imagine the cost of putting that in and filling it, and then filling it over and over and over and over and over again is going to add up to over $4,000 very quickly. So to me, that would be the best option. You know, if you put a battery backup system in with it, now you've got the opportunity to charge your batteries up during the day when it's sunny, run off the batteries at night. If it's, you know, bad weather, you can run off the generator while also charging the batteries up and then run off the batteries during the day. And, you know, there's a lot of options there for you by adding some additional layer instead of just doubling down on the propane. You know, that's what I do. I use it to turn that Florida sun into an asset. So hopefully that helps you out. Guys, keep getting the questions in and I'll keep getting them answered and out the jack.